Hey, what's going on, everybody? My name is RJ, and I'm the host of the Committed Podcast. Today, you're tuning in to part two of episode five, which is called Put It in the GPS. And basically, what we've been talking about is how God is really the source of direction for everything that we do. Everything from how we live our daily lives to operating and starting a business to writing books, doing podcasts, the whole nine yards. And we've been having a really great conversation. So I'm not going to pray us in this time. We'll pray at the end. Let's jump right back in.
Like, yes.
And this is funny. I think I might have said this to somebody at some point in my life, but GPSs serve two purposes. The first purpose that they serve is they tell you where you are. Uh-huh. And the second purpose is they tell you where you're going.
Oh.
And that
they do though. Yeah, come on. They do.
Right. So, and what does God do?
That is good
tell
to me.
Where you are.
Yeah, and tell you where you at. Okay.
Right. And he points out the A and B and he tells you, look, this is where you are.
No, that is so good to me because y'all know how Pastor Bruce Lee just said that, like, God does not talk to you about your past.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Baby, the GPS don't tell you where you just came from.
Now, what the GPS will do is it will show you your search history.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I felt that. I feel God.
The GPS will tell you. Ooh. And God tells you. He searches your heart.
Yes.
And
yes.
He tells you this is what your motives are.
Yes.
This is what you want to do.
Wow.
But this is not where I need you to go.
Yeah, right.
He knows where the traffic is. He knows where the car accidents are. He knows where the police is at.
Yes.
He knows where the ops are. And he can
this
tell you.
This is good. No, this is so good.
Yes.
You know, I think he is the most superior of all GPS apps.
Waze. Absolutely.
This is not a sponsored advertisement.
Yes. Apple Maps, we are so sorry to inform you.
Waze is like that.
You are not the best.
Y'all ain't got nothing on my guy. Respectfully.
Waze, because my Bible says he is the way,
the truth, and the life.
And it does.
No man cometh before the Father.
Not a one.
Except by me. That's what my Bible says. Anyway, but in my devotional time, I wanted to mention this. I found myself in the book of Titus.
Ooh.
Most people don't know where Titus is at.
Yes.
But I somehow found myself in Titus chapter 2.
I'm sorry, but like that's the best chapter.
Titus is the one. And I was like, Titus, you was on to something,
yeah,
man of God. But this is verse 11. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. So that I wanted to read that mainly because it kind of speaks to the whole how do we do it?
Yeah.
Right? Like, how do we actually walk out what God is telling us to do, denying ourselves.
Yeah.
Right. And like we're praying for direction. And this is one of the passages that actually gives you the how.
Yeah.
You know, all right, well, first you have to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. Yeah. Okay, that's like your flesh. Like, you know, we've heard about the three types of lust, right?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
the what is lust it? Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life.
Yeah. Yes.
Right.
We know the word.
Right.
And we do.
We know the word. We know the word.
Shout out to RCR.
No, for real. Wouldn't be in the same place without them.
Ever. At all.
But yeah, we have to deny ungodliness, which is everything that goes against the fruits of the Spirit, and we find that in Ephesians and,
yes,
Philippians and Colossians. They all have problems with them.
Galatians.
And Galatians and Corinthians.
Galatians 5.
Yeah, 5
Shout
and
out to you, 20, Paul.
22, right?
Yep.
So we have to understand what those things are in order to be able to, I don't want to say combat them, but in order to treat them the right way.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So we have to come into understanding of that, and then we have to live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Now, this tells us a lot, even just by Paul saying, and it's not Paul, excuse me, by Titus saying, in the present age, just those words by itself means that in the present age is at any time you're reading this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not just in, you know, 600 AD when this book was written.
It's the living word.
No, it's a living, breathing document, and you have to treat it as such. These are not just you know, good sayings and things to put on the back of a t-shirt.
Yeah, it's not just mantras.
These aren't just historical precepts and concepts that you should understand and apply to your daily life.
Yes.
No, this is truth.
Yes.
This
saves your life.
Right.
Literally.
So it's the basic instructions before leaving Earth.
Okay.
Right? That's literally what this is. It's instruction.
Yes.
And it says, then this is like step by step, really, if you think about it. Look for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, right? And I even just that clause is like, well, you're not just looking for Jesus to come back. Like, yeah, he's gonna come back, he's gonna catch up dead and have us, we'll meet him in the air, mm-hmm. right? That's true. But it's like, where do you find God in your day to day situations?
Yeah,
especially in entrepreneurship.
Yeah,
we have so many times where it's like, oh man, I put out this podcast and like I have like 200 downloads total over like 6 episodes, which is cool. I was more impressed by the fact, and this is like a very humble plug, like not boasting at all, but yo, Committed is international.
Yeah, I saw that.
Bro, we're in 4 countries. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Right? Like people listening in Germany, Belgium, New Zealand, like that's outrageous. I never would have imagined that. Yeah. Even in my most wild dreams of like having like, you know, millions of subscribers and billions of views and all that stuff. Yeah. Never would have seen it international. Okay. You know what I'm saying? But
that's good.
Right. And it's like, where do I find God in that? And it's like, okay, well, if we're teaching the gospel and we're teaching what God has done for us, by us, through us, like God gets glory out of that.
Yeah.
That's saving souls. That's evangelism. Mm-hmm. Yes. Entrepreneurship is really evangelism.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's really what it is. You know, I think every business owner operates in a fivefold. Every business owner is an evangelist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
And like, the fivefold ministry,
you better be here laying hands.
Four of those are for the ecclesia. They're for the church.
Yeah.
Evangelists are for the marketplace.
Yeah.
You know, he gave unto some. He gave teachers and preachers.
Uh-huh.
And
apostles
and
prophets. Yep.
Right. But then he gave evangelists.
Yes.
Yes.
Not teachers and preachers. Teachers and pastors. Right. Well, if you want to be, anyway, but. And I had a conversation with Sydney about this, but like, there's a significant difference between a teacher and a pastor.
Yes.
I ain't even going down that road.
When you want to talk, when you want a PK on your podcast, bring me back.
I'm a PK
we
too.
We can talk about it.
Every teacher can't pastor.
Huh? And every pastor can't teach.
You know, most pastors, I feel like pastors should be able to teach.
Should.
But.
Should.
There is a difference.
There is
for
a difference.
There's a difference for a reason.
We right? have both. Amen.
yes, and we have prophets,
and we do,
and we have apostles.
Yes.
Yeah.
I actually have a question for you.
I might have an answer.
You reading the the question started coming to me before you read the scripture in Titus, mm-hmm. but you reading that scripture really solidified me having this question for you. And of course, you can answer it too. But how do y'all stay out of regret of not following the instruction or not following the GPS to a T? Because that is the hardest part, following to a T. Because I can't say that. I don't know everybody's story, but I don't think I've ever followed God's instructions 100% to the T like I should have, and you know, in the ways that he's given me. And like I said, God does sometimes have to do a wraparound. So how do you stay out of that, like, oh man, I wish that I should have, or oh man, I wish that I could have, or like, how do you stay out of that?
You want to answer first?
Yes. Okay. It's still like, you know, I'm still working on it, mm-hmm. but I would say grace, but I don't abuse the fact that he gives me grace.
Yeah.
Shall we continue in 10?
Yeah. Okay.
Bound.
God yeah. forbid.
That's right.
I would say grace, yeah. but I also, when I don't, I, you know, the repentance, of course, yeah. and the accepting the fact that, yes, I have to get it right. So I would definitely say grace.
That's good.
Yeah.
You have stole my answer. I'm glad I let you go first. but that's a very good answer.
Yes.
That's a very good answer. It's grace and repentance. And repentance is metanoia. It's a changing yes. of the mind, right? It's not just asking for forgiveness. Like, it's part of it.
Yeah.
It's not the whole thing.
Yes, come on. Thank you. Oh, sorry.
That was a very good answer.
Yes.
Passionate about that too, because that makes me upset.
Yeah.
It's more than just an apology. And I tell people all the time, I used to say this, like, just thank you, Lord, for forgiveness. But I used to say this in relationships all the time, like, when people would make me mad, I'm like, don't apologize to me if you're not going to change your behavior.
Exactly.
Such a prideful statement. But until I really started understanding the concept of, like, repentance and in the righteous way, I'm like, mm-hmm. whoa, like, horrible statement, but that's what repentance is. Don't just keep coming to God saying, I'm sorry, exactly. I'm sorry. No. Change your behavior. Change your mind.
Yeah.
Change your actions.
Yeah.
That's what repentance is.
We need to have a different episode just on
yeah,
that.
Because I have.
Literally.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
She held up her phone.
That was from consecration. Like, we talked about that, yeah.
Scrolling, scrolling. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
yeah.
But it's difficult, and it's, I even talked about that a couple episodes when I was like dealing with like my problems with like lust and things like that. It's like
such a good episode, y'all should go and check that out.
That's was that the last episode, episode
shameless
four?
Plug.
Yes, please go check that out, because I pray every day that I didn't do that for no reason, putting all of my dirty laundry.
It's never in vain. It's never in vain.
So that talk about being fearful. That one right there, definitely was scared about that. God had to wrestle with me for a week, and I think that's gonna, that goes right into my answer to your question, is like, you have to be obedient quickly.
That's my prayer. Absolutely,
you have to be very quickly obedient. And it's like, I read a study one time, my minor in college was on education policy, so I took an education psychology class. And a lot of teaching methods don't focus on retention of information. They focus on memorization. The difference there between memorization, right, and the difference between memorization and retention is application. It's how can I apply it to my life such that it makes sense to who I am. Right. You know, calculus doesn't make sense to everybody, but it makes sense to the person that uses it every day. Accounting doesn't make sense to everybody, but it makes sense to the person that uses it every day.
It's about the lifespan of the memory.
So, yeah, and that's exactly what it is. It's you know, for every, I think it's like for every like 30 minutes, you it's like there's like a negatively parabolic effect on how much you remember. So if you hear a word from God and you wait a week to apply it, it's, there's like a 90% of that is gone. You don't remember but 10% of what he said. So, you know, writing it is important, and you know, we'll talk about Habakkuk 2 another time. We got, this is gonna be like a 3-part podcast, y'all, I promise. But there is, no, I'm gonna go Habakkuk now. I'm sorry, because I can't shake it.
Wrap around, Lord.
Habakkuk 1 is Habakkuk pleading with God to save Judah. It's not Habakkuk was starting a business and he needed some help.
That's not how we got mission, to write the vision make it plain.
Values and a purpose. Like, no.
That's not how it works.
Habakkuk was a prophet and God gave him a vision of him destroying Judah, and he's like, God, no, please, no, God, please, no, please. And he prays and Habakkuk 2, that's where we pick up, and the Bible says, and I'll stand on my rampart and I'll watch and I'll wait and see what God has to say to me. And then God replied, write the vision, make it plain on tablets so that a runner may see it, for the vision is yet for an appointed time and it will not tarry. Wait on it, for it will tarry, but it will come to pass and it won't lie. Okay. Well, and I won't get into this, the semantics and the hermeneutics of it, all the homiletics of it, and why the two different words tarry in English and the original Greek were not, they don't have the same meaning. They're two different words, and one tarry means to wait with intention and purpose, and the other one means to stay still, right? Because that's a whole...
First of all, you just explained it. You definitely did.
I definitely
did. But at the same time, like, you... talking about verse 1 where it says stand and watch, that really just stuck out to me because it goes right back to the whole soaking conversation. And standing and watching are two separate instructions. Standing, what do you do when you stand? You're standing straight up.
It's an active,
and most of the time when you're standing, standing and walking are two different things. So when you're standing, you're standing still, which means you're firm, which means you're planted, right? So you shouldn't be shakable. You shouldn't be movable.
Steadfast, unmovable.
Absolutely. And that is the posture that you should have in your soaking. But when you watch, that means you're attentive. You're observant. That means you are looking around to the point where anytime God wants to bring you the answer, you are ready to receive it. That is what soaking is. Standing firm. And that's one of the things that I always tell people in the P-R-A-Y. In the yielding, you're not just waiting. Wait confidently. That's Bible. When you look at like different, like wait on the Lord and be of good courage. When you look at the amplified version of that, it says wait confidently, wait patiently. That means you're waiting on God no matter how much you have to like put yourself in a straitjacket. You're waiting for him. Sitting there waiting for God to give you what you asked him for. Because he is that sovereign. You went to him in the first place knowing that he had an answer. So why would you not trust him however long he has to bring it to you, right? So that stand and watch really just blessed me because it's a twofold thing. You don't stand and slouch. No. Pick your head up and be ready for God to show you, for God to speak. Like when you stand straight up with a good posture, and that is so good to me. When you stand upright with the right posture, that means you're always ready to receive.
Yeah. I got to give you some English on that too. Like, all of those words you listed were verbs.
Come on.
And what are
They're
verbs?
Action words.
And what does action imply? That there has to be activity.
Absolutely.
You have to be
do something.
You can't be passive in it. You can't just stand and just be like chilling.
Yeah.
And then you did something else that was really cool too. You provided adverbs.
Yeah.
Right? You provided words that described how you wait.
Yeah. And that's patiently.
Posture is an adverb.
Yes.
Posture is not a state of being. It's an adverb. It describes what you're doing.
Yes.
Like good posture. Yeah, slouching. What you doing right now? Right. Come on.
Bro, I'm to the time
this is so good.
Yeah, like you have to actively follow instructions and you have to do it quickly, right? And I think that's the biggest thing for me, especially with Sankofa. Like this committed podcast, like I came in here and I had my DJI mic 2s. I actually came in here with the Hollyland microphones one day, podcast all kinds of jacked up. Then I came in here with the DJI microphones, and then I had Jerome Adenia come in. They set me up with Logic Pro and all these nice Shure SM7Bs. Y'all see these like $600 microphones. Mm-hmm. And like, this is equipment that we already had, preamps, everything is already there, but I didn't know how to use it. But it's again, if you commit your works to the Lord, he'll establish you. Absolutely. He'll provide you the resources, he'll provide you the people. But like, you know, it starts with that quick obedience.
Yes.
Right? Because we just talked about your spirit, your soul, and your flesh has to be in alignment, because God is also working in the hearts of other men to align their spirits, their souls, and their flesh to be in the right place at the right time, to in the right heart posture, to do the right thing. Like, it's God is a master chess player.
Yes, he is.
Like, he's playing 8-dimensional chess all around the world so that people's lives can be in tune. Like, I think about it too sometimes. Like, there's somebody listening in New Zealand right now. New Zealand's like 12 hours ahead.
Hey, New Zealand.
Like, bro, like people are listening and they're gonna hear, but if I don't be obedient right now, 12 hours from now, or I don't know, however time works for real, whenever they listen to it, they're not gonna have nothing to listen to. And where their heart is postured at that point in time, this message might be for that point in time. Mm-hmm. But if I tarry too long, or I tarry so long that I'm outside of the obedience and the will of God,
You missed your window.
I've missed my window, and that person can't be delivered.
Absolutely.
You know, that's why the last episode I had to be quickly obedient. Like, God told me on a Monday, he's like, hey, you're gonna go in there and talk about what you've been struggling with for the past like 15 years. And I'm just like,
but at the same time, like, what really just blessed me is the fact that your quick yes means absolutely nothing if when you give that yes over, you're not ready to put your foot to the plow.
Hey, exactly. Yep.
I have a question.
I may have an answer.
RJ may have the answer.
So is that where the doubt comes from? Because our posture is not right, so we miss what we hear from him.
Yeah.
Doubt, fear, every negative emotion.
Anxiety.
And I would almost argue too that those negative emotions should be a sign that God's instruction is truth.
Yes. The conviction? Is that what it would be like? Conviction?
I wouldn't say it's conviction. I would say your conviction comes from your understanding that God's instruction is truth.
Okay.
Like, there's that, all right, that initial doubt and fear, which is a part of our flesh.
I was about to say, I think that's like your natural flesh response. Yes. But that, just like you said, RJ, that should show you that whatever God said, because if it's combative, if it's a fight, then you know it's something going against your flesh, but that your spirit knows that it's being drawn to. Yeah. Absolutely.
And it's a stage. It's a step, right? Okay. There's stages to it. And it's like she said, it's perfectly normal to feel that.
Absolutely.
I feel it all the time.
All the time.
Even right now. Like, I'm just like, bro, I'm... But like, you go through that fear and that doubt. Then you test the spirit by the spirit. Mm-hmm. And you're like, all right, you go take it in prayer. You listen to God. And he says, yes, this is what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Like, I just sat there and told you, this is what I'm saying.
1,000 times.
And then you go and you be obedient. But it's okay to do it in fear. Yes. Right? Because this is the anatomy of the spiritual man. Right? You have to think about it. There's layers. It's like an onion.
Yeah.
Right? Your flesh is what people see. Mm-hmm. People can't see your spirit. They can't. They see your soul in a way, but they don't know the true motive behind it, which is, it should be the spirit.
Yeah.
Right? But you have to be able to operate in your flesh with your spirit shining through as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's That's a very controversial statement. I just realized how controversial that might be, but that's fine. Y'all got my Instagram. Y'all hit me up. We'll talk about it. But you have to be able to operate in your flesh.
Yeah.
You have to. That's the only way God gets glory.
Yeah.
If you operate in your spirit and don't have nothing wrong in your flesh, even Paul had a thorn.
Yes.
If you're not operating in your flesh, then how can somebody who is a foreigner, as the Bible says, I believe it's in 1 Corinthians, how can we be ambassadors to God in a perfect flesh?
Yeah.
That's also what keeps us humble.
Yeah.
That's why he gave Paul a thorn.
Exactly.
He said, if I take this thorn from you, you'll have no need of me.
Right.
And that's why I mentioned why are we asking God these certain questions? We ask God questions sometimes that if he provides that solution that we pray for, we wouldn't have need for him.
Exactly.
Right. And that's why sometimes, you know, I even in my own struggles, sometimes I still think, like, God, like, I get it, but dag, man, like,
right.
But that's the difference between condemnation and conviction too.
Yep.
And that's why I told you, it's like stages.
Yes.
Like, you have to go through that stage of that first initial fleshly response where it's like, dang, I'm scared to do this.
Yeah.
But you can't stay there. You can't condemn yourself to that point.
Yeah.
You have to be able to convict yourself of, like, okay, this is going to the testing by the Spirit. This is where I'm convinced of what God has said about me, about who I am in him and what he has called me to do. He's given you the power to accrue wealth. He's given you the power to unlock every kind of freedom that you might need from the wicked. Mm-hmm. He's given you the power to do these things.
Bible.
That's conviction. That you have to be convinced of that. Convinced, and that's where you see the difference between light and dark. You see, all right, this is what my flesh is saying. This is what the Spirit is saying. I know that these things are opposite. That's how I know this is what God is saying.
Right.
That's where the conviction comes from. And you're able to walk in that. It's okay. You're wrapped in flesh. You can't get rid of it. Not until you go to be with God in glory. But you have to let that, as much of that spirit and what you're convicted of, what you're convinced of, walk. You have to wear that on top of your flesh almost. And that's what is so important about oil. Like, just the concept of oil itself.
Yeah.
Right. I was a Bishop Young, I think, preached about the oil press itself, uh-huh, and how many times it's purified, and what each batch of oil after it's been purified a certain amount of times is worth, or what its value is, yeah, what its purpose is.
The best oil, right, is after the first crushing, by the way.
The first crushing is the virgin olive oil.
Yeah.
Right. And that virgin olive oil is used for what? It's used for cleansing.
Yeah.
Right. That second press is used for what? It's used for food.
Yeah,
it's used for storage. You store things inside of it, right? So that first crushing, and this is good. This might be a parable by itself.
Okay.
Let me stop playing. But that first crushing is used, and sometimes it's that first fleshly feeling, that feeling of fear. It's that first crushing. It's like, all right, well, I have to deny my flesh. This is where your first check mark in your head should be like, I got to deny my flesh.
Yeah.
I know this is flesh. I have to deny it.
It's like the first wall that you have to, like, knock down.
Right.
Literally.
And that's you take it to God in the oil press, and it's like, God, hey, fix this, please.
Yes.
Right. And that's the first, that's where you get your cleanse.
Yeah.
Right. And then you get to the place where you're starting to put action to it, and you hit a wall, and you're like, okay, what do I do now? And you have to remind yourself of your conviction.
Yeah.
Right. And when you remind yourself of that conviction, it takes you through a process where you're like, all right, you're actively, like, beating your flesh under subjection.
Absolutely.
Actively, like, every hour.
Daily. Yeah. Okay.
Like, for real.
Hour by hour.
Minute by minute, for real.
Sometimes second by second.
It's like, second by...
It's a decision. You have to keep
breath
making the decision.
Breath by breath. It is a conscious decision. But that's also why it's so important to know the word. Because how can you be convinced of something that you have no knowledge of?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And that's Romans 12 for you. That's Romans 12, 1. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yeah.
Right. And renewing, it's a perpetual process. It's not something that is iterant. It's not something that you do once or twice. You have to do it. Every decision you make has to be an act of renewing your mind.
Yeah.
And like I said, like when you find that conviction, you're in that second crushing, that's where what your action is and your obedience to God becomes bread for other people.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it goes and everything is so intentional. It's like even the second press being used for food is a mirror of your act of obedience to God and how it feeds other people's spirits.
Yes.
Let's go ahead and pray out. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord God, for this time. that we've gotten to spend with one another, God. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to hear from you and even to speak your words. God, we don't count it robbery, God, to be able to shed our flesh for a few minutes and just dwell in your presence and just be who you've called us to be, God. We pray that, Lord, even as we leave here, but not your presence, God, that you would go with us, even in our minds and our hearts and our spirits, God, even as we learn more about who you've called us to be, who you've created us to be, God. Help us and by reminding us every day of who we are in you as we seek your face, God. We pray that, Lord, that you would help us to be doers and not just hearers of your word. God, continue to speak to us, speak in our hearts, Father God. Help us to remember and be quickly obedient to everything that you've said to us, God. Help us learn how to pray. Help us learn how to soak in your presence, God, and hear from you. God, tune our ears to hear words from you and not from other people, God, who may not be in accordance with your will. God, we pray the Lord that you would protect our minds, protect our hearts, our motives, our spirits, God. Even now, I pray the Lord, God, that as we continue to do your work, that you would continue to be our strength. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, y'all. Stay committed.